For our scripture, I want to read from Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 21. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pastor Derek and I were talking the other day, sharing a little bit about our military background. He had 7 years in the Marine Corps, and I was in the Army, or the Army Reserve, for 5. We served in different eras. He served in the first Gulf War in the 1990s, and I served in the 50s in the Cold War. So we are 40 years apart. And we have a great common ground that we found in our, both of us have a great love of close order drill. And there's a reason for that, you know. We each had a similar sense of the thrill of being part of something where a whole battalion of people are walking and moving as one person. In step, following commands, keeping cadence, each one trusting and depending on the other. Now, the military does this because there's an objective to it, of course. It teaches teamwork and confidence and pride, alertness, attention to detail, discipline, all those things. When these things are at work, a platoon of 40 men can be exactly as though they were one. Okay, that's fun. Now, why do I mention all of that? Why, what's the kind of a way is that to start a sermon? Well, I mention it because we're experiencing something so completely opposite to that kind of order in our world these days, in our current time. It seems like life itself is out of step. I believe God has a word for us about that, and that's why we look at this text in Matthew 15. But I want to go a little bit earlier. We read the verses 21 through 28. But to get a real sense of what's going on here, you have to go all the way back to the beginning of that chapter. Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem, and the Pharisees come to him with a complaint. "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat." And Jesus answered, "Why do you break the commandment of God with your traditions?" The discussion that follows revolves around morality and tradition, how the Pharisees and Jesus conflict about that. Jesus says, "Listen and understand. It's not about what goes into the mouth. It's about what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Jesus criticizes the Pharisees, saying that they emphasize things about going into the mouth, about their rules, about how to eat and what to eat, and all of the specifics that you can't vary from this. Their approach is very much that of one who is blind spiritually, leading the others who are blind. Jesus says, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions." And he lists murder and adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. "These are what defile a person," Jesus says. "But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Might not be good hygiene, but it doesn't defile. This sounds so familiar in terms of the rhetoric pulsating through our society these days. Confusion reigns in our time right now. We are polarized people. We no longer respect each other in public discourse. We don't honor a middle ground where everybody gives a little bit and we find some positive sense of how we come together about mounting problems. Often we don't know who to believe or what to believe, what's true, what's false. We come to distrust most people, often suspicious of people we don't know and even many that we do know. It's a terrible way to live, and it's so unnecessary, and Jesus has something to say about that. He encountered this, his version of this same kind of thing in that controversy with the Pharisees over morality and traditions. So we come to our text where he is in the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he has an opportunity to demonstrate how God's love works in a splintered world. And that opportunity is given to him by a Canaanite woman who comes into his presence shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Now, as a Canaanite, she comes from that group of people who are pagan, who have historically been the enemies of the Jews and the enemies of God. And so she's not one of the people to whom Jesus has been sent to lead in the way of salvation, to minister, to engage. His business is with the Jews. He's not wanting to be sidetracked by issues with pagans. So he ignored the woman, but she persisted. And Jesus spoke words that sound so harsh. "It's not fair to take the children's food and feed it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." In the rigidity of a tradition-stuffed religious world Jesus came to save, this woman should have been sent away, maybe even punished for her attitude. But Jesus saw something in her he wanted to plant in the Pharisees and in his disciples. He saw her faith. "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And her daughter was healed. You know, I believe this lectionary is here for us today because it contains a message we need for today. And that message is this: in this harsh, splintered, confrontational, confused time we're living through, Christ has the answer, and that answer is revival. Our country, our churches, our people need a great revival so that our spirits are healed and our controversies overcome in that healing. Bishop Sharma Lewis of our conference, in her message at annual conference this summer in June, talked about being open to a new thing that God would do in this particular time. And to do that new thing and to be in touch with it and to connect with what she was saying, you have to have a change of heart. You have to be revived from the inside out. And that's what revival is. That's why I used that opening prayer this morning. I especially like those words of that prayer: "Give us faith to trust you, no matter what challenges we face. Give us courage to place our dreams and ambitions in your hands and follow where you lead without hesitation." Faith made the difference for the Canaanite woman. Faith makes the difference in our lives. Faith is about absolute trust in God. It doesn't hold anything back. Faith grows from grace, God's forgiving, enabling love that reaches to us, freely given to us. Faith enables us to forgive because we understand we are forgiven. Faith activates the beliefs we profess. Faith redefines who we are in God's image and changes how we relate to others. Faith makes the difference in the world. Let me tell you a story about what faith can do. 12 years ago, there was a hostage situation in Atlanta, Georgia. A prisoner had escaped from the courtroom after killing the judge and three other people in his escape. A young woman was coming home from work, and he took her hostage in her own apartment. He tied her up. She did not resist him, so he didn't harm her. This young woman's name was Ashley Smith, and she was a Christian. And during the hours of her captivity, she talked to this man. Talked to him about the killings that he'd done. Talked to him about her family and about his family. And talked to him about God. And as the night wore on, she earned his trust enough that he untied her. And then she said, would you release me to go and see my daughter? And he said, no. And she said, well, I lost my husband 4 years ago. And if something happens to me, if you kill me, my daughter will now have neither a father nor a mother. And somehow in all of that conversation, she touched something underneath that harsh exterior that was tearing everything up. She said to him, you are here in my apartment for a reason. She said, you know, it might be that you're destined to be caught so that you can spread the word of God to the prisoners who would never hear it. And as that played out, he willingly surrendered himself and released her. Ashley Smith's faith is what made the difference in how that came out. There's so many bad ways that could have come out. She did not lose her faith in the midst of the crisis. And so the question comes, what difference is your faith making in somebody's life today, right now, in this turbulent time we live in? When we live with all this upheaval, we're tempted to give up on God and fall in line with whatever mood is swinging people the most way because we're afraid. Fear rules us. But no matter what's pulling us, God never gives up on us. He stays in touch. God loves every person, no matter how sinful they may be, no matter how gross may be the things that they do. Under that is a person who may be lost and buried under it. And God loves that person and wants to bring that person out. That's what God sent his son for. God never gives up on us, any of us. He calls us to a revival of faith in answer to the turbulence and the uncertainty of our time. When we looked at the earlier part of Matthew 15, we quoted Jesus' words about the mouth defiling us. And we named some of the things that Jesus says the mouth defiles, you know. Well, a few years later, the Apostle Paul wrote the Ephesians about things that defile us. He spoke of the works of the flesh that are opposed to God's Spirit, and he named them fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. Sounds like the riots and the life upheavals that we're experiencing these days. And then he called for a revival of God's Spirit in the hearts and lives of people. By contrast, he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We don't get those things anywhere except by God's grace, through God's Spirit. And when we have that revival of the Spirit inside ourselves, we open ourselves afresh. God touches us afresh. He brings those kind of fruits to the fore in our lives. That's the answer to our time. The words draw me to those other words in Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. When you're bombarded with the uncertainties and the turbulence and the violence that is occurring in our confused time, think on these things. When we renew our faith and trust in God, you know, I first heard of a revival, really, when I was a student pastor. I served the Blue Ridge Charge in the Shenandoah Valley while I was in college. And the people I was trying to minister to ministered to me and taught me the need of having somebody to tell you how it really is with you and your world and call you to God's grace. And that's what a revival is, and that's what we need in our time. We need to do it with each other, and God needs to do it with us. Renew our faith and our trust in God. And when we do, these things become the cadence of the Spirit. And we will live and move, and we will relate to one another in oneness with Christ. Faith makes the difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know faith makes the difference. And we want to trust you. We want to have that faith. And we feel challenged and we feel frightened. And the loudness of the turmoil that arises around us is frightening. And we remember that you loved your Son through even a crucifixion to raise him to give us hope for all eternity and the power of your Spirit. Renew us, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.